Welcome to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by thesoberclub.com. I'm Genuinely Grace. This is for you if you've quit the booze or you'd like to, or maybe you're just sober curious. I'll bring you tips and motivation without any judgment, and there'll be inspiration from experts, quit lit authors, and sober heroes. Hi, and welcome to the podcast. I hope you're well. So it's been a very powerful week. Energetically, some of you, particularly if you're a little bit on the woo-woo side, will know that it was the Lionsgate portal, 8th of the 8th. It did feel like a really powerful day. It was really funny because I went off and met a colleague, someone I had known for a long time via social media, but hadn't actually met properly before. And we turn up and we're both wearing exactly the same jacket, which had angel wings on the back. So aligned. It was really funny. But anyway, yeah, so it's been a very auspicious week. And we did a really nice meditation with our sober coaches group to sort of celebrate, if you like, to mark the Lionsgate portal, as it's called. You don't have to be woo-woo to benefit from any of this stuff. You really don't. I just think sometimes it's hard to imagine that there wouldn't be different kinds of energies going down. Why would there not? And I think this week particularly has been a bit of a cosmic alignment. So I thought I'd share with you a few tips that you can bring in to embrace new beginnings. That's really what it's all about. And whether you want to focus on the the woo-woo aspects or not doesn't really matter. These kind of tips work anyway. So I thought I'd share a few of those with you. Before I do that, I just want to remind some of you, if you happen to be in Hertfordshire, that I'm going to be speaking on this Saturday at the Back to the Roots Festival at Croft Farm. It's near Hemel Hempstead, and it looks like a fabulous place. It looks so funky. Really looking forward to being part of this festival. So many amazing things going on there. While we're talking spirituality and woo-woo, there's some really great stuff. Looks like there's some sound healing, there's a cacao ceremony, there's yoga, there are some great speakers. And I'm going to be speaking on Saturday afternoon. All about being happy, healthy, sober, really. So there's a good book title. So if you are thinking of coming along, it'd be fantastic to meet you. I think you can still get tickets or day tickets. Just check it out. It's organized by Conscious Body Community, and it's the Back to the Roots Festival. You'll find it all across social media, or drop me a message if you can't find it and I'll point you in the right direction. Looks like it's going to be a really great event. I really hope you've been having a good summer. I mean, it's picked up a bit, hasn't it? Got to be grateful for a bit of sunshine, particularly after the interview last week with Susan. I reran the interview on how we cope with sunshine triggers. And, I think particularly when the sun's been in for a long time and then it finally comes out, it definitely does catch you on the hop if you're maybe early days. The other thing I want to share with you is that our event is next Tuesday. Those of you who have tickets, it is sold out, but I think there were some returns. So if you were on the waiting list for that event, to celebrate our 250th episode of the podcast. Can't believe it. It's on Tuesday, the 15th of August in London. And if you were on the waiting list, then get in touch because it could be a ticket available now. I'm really looking forward to seeing some of you there. Whether you're coming or not, if you want to drop me a message and let me know what some of your favorite podcasts have been over the last 250 episodes, then I'd love to know. And it can be, something that maybe not everyone would be coming up with. I don't always think it's necessarily the most famous people or the people who have written the big books who can always be the most interesting guests. Sometimes I find someone, I just come across someone, and maybe it's to do with where you're at a certain stage in your life, and somebody just says something and it's like that light bulb going on. It can be really powerful. I know that in my first kind of early weeks of sobriety, I was literally consuming podcasts nonstop. It's what made me decide to do my own, because I kind of ran out, really. But I was literally inhaling these things. I just needed so much inspiration. I just needed to hear all about sobriety and all that it meant in so many different ways. And there were absolutely moments that hit me really powerfully. Just some little thing that a guest or a podcast host said that made me think, wow, that's exactly where I'm at right now. And it feels so comforting and so reassuring to know that other people have been through the same thing. So our theme for the 250th episode that I'm going to be recording next week is a connection, because it's really what it's all about. Being connected is the thing that makes all of the difference. And I'd love to know what connections you've made, what have been the powerful connections for you since you stopped drinking or since you started on your sober journey, whatever stage you're at, and since you've been listening to the podcast. So obviously, of course, if you're a Sober Club member, you will have made amazing connections. And I'd love to know what's been some of the most powerful stuff for you. So feel free to drop me a message. You can find me anywhere on social media at Janie Lee Grace, or just go to the Sober Club and do the contact form there at thesoberclub.com. If you're not already a member, by the way, I have to give it a little plug. I mean, I could do a whole ad, but why would I do that? I think most of you know about the Sober Club. It is the most amazing, it's really difficult to describe it because it is so many things, but I suppose it's inspirational. It's incredibly supportive. It is totally non-judgmental. It doesn't matter if you are just thinking about stopping drinking, perhaps sober curious, or whether you've been sober for years and years. We have a member who is 13 years sober, because it's never only about not drinking. Of course it isn't. That's what brings us to the point we're at. And that we start to realize that's what underpins everything. Got to get that piece in place. That's where we start to lay the foundations. But there's so much else that all of us want, right? Of course we want to focus on living our best lives. Of course we want to think about well-being and good nutrition and what's our purpose? What's our sense of giving back? What's our community? How do we share with other people? You know, just what's going on, really? And so whatever stage you're at, there really is something for you. And we do have our course, Get the Buzz Without the Booze, which can also be used for anything else. So perhaps you've already stopped drinking, but now you'd like to quit the sugar. So come and do the course for that. It works. All the principles work the same way. Got loads of great guest experts. We have regular meetups on Zoom. And of course, we have a private community where a lot of the magic happens and people are, well, we kind of become cheerleaders for each other. I think that's where this connection piece really comes in. And some very powerful friendships have been made through the Sober Club. In fact, that's really why this event on Tuesday is happening, because a couple of our members, Cindy is coming from Australia and Evan is coming from the US. And they said, look, we're going to be in the UK. We're going to be in London. We've got to meet some Sober Club members. So I figured, well, it's as good a time as any. And it just happened to coincide with the 250th episode of the podcast. How incredible is that? So that's what we're going to be doing. So do drop me a message if you'd like to share with me any thoughts on connection from that you've found from sobriety, from being part of a community, from connecting with other people who are, you know, going along the same path. Just let me know what it means to you. And also please share with me your favorite podcast or moment from a podcast, if it's not one specific one. I'd really love to know that. I'll kind of weave it into the show somehow. And of course, moving forward, let me know if there's anyone you'd like me to interview. If you know of anyone who would be a great guest for the podcast, then let me know. I'd love to bring them on board. So let me just share a few of these little pieces with you then that I was sharing with my group a few nights ago on the 8th of the 8th. We were talking about this powerful energy of the Lionsgate portal and how great it is around this time to embark on this kind of journey of transformation and start to create that life filled with purpose and joy and without alcohol, of course. And the interesting thing about this is it carries on this portal, if you like, carries on till 30th of August. So you got a little bit of time to let go of what you no longer need. And I think this is a really important piece of this. We all can be quite good at kind of thinking of what it is we want, but we sometimes forget that it's a really good idea to let go of what we no longer need. So this could be, these little tips could be relevant for you. Really, whatever stage you're at, whatever's going on in your life, you can pave the way for something that you'd like to bring in. So a few of the tips that I gave were, and as I say, these work for everything, really. So number one is to set clear intentions. So have a little moment to reflect on where you're at. Obviously, if you are early days sobriety, focus on that. If you've been sober for a while, think about whatever's next for you. What do you want to think about? What do you want to focus on? What positive changes do you want to manifest? Sometimes a nice question to ask yourself is, what do I want to create more of in my life? And see what comes up. It might not be a thing. You know, it doesn't have to be that you want to buy a flash car or travel or even write a book. It doesn't have to be something specific. It may just be a feeling that you want to create more of in your life. And that's absolutely fine. So jot down what it is you want to manifest. Write down the intention, the dream, the experience that you want to attract into your life, the feeling, the emotion that you want more of. And then visualize it. Visualize your future. This is such an powerful, important piece of this. You know, they do say if you can't see it, you're not going to achieve it. So close your eyes. Picture yourself living your best life without alcohol and doing whatever it is you really want to do. Feel that freedom. We know that visualization works. We absolutely know that. You've only got to look at athletes. You know, that doesn't have to be woo-woo at all. Visualization really, really works. It's about focusing on exactly what it is you want and getting clarity on it. And when you've really got that vision, it's so much easier to find a way to literally create it, for it to manifest in your life. And then the next piece is connection, as I've just been talking about. But connecting this time with that supportive energy that is around at the moment that can really amplify your intentions. So on the meditation that we did, we literally visualized golden light. Because why would you not? You may be laughing at this thinking, oh, please, I can't cope with this. It's way too woo-woo. Well, what have you got to lose? Visualize a golden light surrounding you and just imagine yourself stepping into that energy that can support what it is you want for your life. And then the other part is self-care. And this is really an important piece, something I talk about a lot. And again, with self-care, it isn't necessarily going to be having a spa day. I mean, that's lovely if you can get to do that. But it's the small things. It's the how we nurture our well-being on a really regular basis, the activities that cheer us up a bit, the things that lift our spirits, even if only for a short time, whether that's, I don't know, meditation, whether it's writing in your journal or walking in nature, which is always a good one, being creative in some way. I sometimes say, you know, think about anything creative, any whether it's singing, dancing, drawing, painting, baking, all the ings, but just not drinking, right? And then letting go is the next piece. I already mentioned that. Being able to release and let go is so important. Let go of what no longer serves you. All those lingering doubts, all those fears, all that FOMO that you've been holding on to. I spoke about this in last week's podcast, that fear of missing out. Oh, maybe I won't be fun anymore. How will I possibly, you know, go to that party? Or, oh, there's a barbecue coming up. And what will I do if I'm the one who's not drinking? Let go of that. There's enough of us. There's enough podcasts just in my catalogue alone to, I hope, inspire you that you can literally turn your FOMO to JOMO. Turn that FOMO to the joy of missing out. It's only ever joyful. Focus on everything you're gaining, not giving up. There's nothing to give up, nothing at all. And just be open to letting go of those doubts, because literally your best life awaits you on this path. And of course, you need a little bit of trust. Let go of what you no longer need. And that might include other people's opinions of you, by the way. And just trust in your ability to create that life that you want moving forward. And then the final piece is to celebrate your own progress. If you take a step forward, that's a victory. if you've made some little achievement, however small, you know, share it. That's the connection piece. Share your wins. I love it on the Sober Club when people come on board and say, oh my goodness, I'm 7 days sober and I'm starting to feel just this tiny little sense of energy. And that's just super exciting. I remember that feeling. I remember just that tiny spark of, could this be possible for me? And that's when we become cheerleaders for each other. So celebrate your progress. Make sure you're connected. Of course, I'd love it if you join us in the Sober Club, but whatever works for you to make sure that you put a marker on it. You know, some people count their days. Not everyone does. Some people just kind of celebrate their win. Of course, we're going to find lots of different ways to celebrate that don't include booze, right? Because why the word celebration has to be synonymous with alcohol, it's just beyond me, really. But we need to find other ways, and they can be very small ways of recognizing that we are worth it, that we are doing well, and every step forward is, you know, moving towards what it is you want and embracing this fabulous energy. So as I am talking all things spirituality and woo-woo and portals and all of that stuff, I thought it's a fantastic time to give you another chance to hear a podcast with Kyle Gray. So this is from a while back now. I've had a couple of people say this was one of their favorite podcasts. So I thought we'd just run it again, give you another chance to hear it. Absolutely thrilled that my guest is best-selling author Kyle Gray. I've known Kyle for years, but this is just so exciting to be able to finally chat to Kyle, one of the UK's most sought-after spiritual teachers, who dedicates his life to helping people connect with spirituality through workshops, talks, and online courses. And we're going to be talking about living a high-vibe life. And so excited, Kyle, to get a chance to chat to you and to hear about the book, Raise Your Vibration. Let's start with that.
Hello. Thank you so much. So honored to be here.
I mean, we've met many years ago at Hay House talks and various bits and pieces. But for anyone who's not aware of your work, do you mind just taking us right back to how it all started for you? Because, you know, I think quite uniquely, you had a spiritual awakening at a really young age. Most of us, it takes us a while.
Yeah. I had a spiritual awakening and then I had to have a human life and mistakes anyway. My work is predominantly centered around angels, and I also speak about, you know, living a high vibe life, but my work has predominantly been about angels. And when I was a little boy, when I was around 3, I had a virus called Guillain-Barré syndrome, and that's a virus that attacks the nervous system, and I was paralyzed for a number of months. And it was around that time of being kind of limited to a wheelchair and in one space that I developed this sensitivity that was able to kind of far outreach the room. Mm. And after about a year of going through, you know, the whole rigmarole of having a virus that they initially thought was meningitis, I made a recovery naturally. And it was around the same time of me kind of being recovered and getting ready to start school at around 4.5. I had this experience of her grandmother, or my Nana, was living in our family home with us, who was also in a wheelchair. And she was moved from the house to hospital. And then one night, the week school was starting, I remember waking up through the night and my grandmother was sitting on the bottom of my bed and she looked glorious. And I thought she had come home from hospital and she was coming into the room to tuck me in. And so I went into, my mum's room the next morning and told her what had happened. And she couldn't really give me any feedback. But it was revealed to me later on that day that she'd actually gone to heaven. Like, that was what I was told.
Wow.
So from, you know, 4.5, I've had this lifelong question of what happens to us when we die. And if my grandmother had died, why did I see her? Mm-hmm. So that had stayed with me from then. And, you know, growing up my whole life, loads of weird and wonderful things would happen. I would like speak to people, but no one else could see the person in the room. Or my mom was a mobile hairdresser when I was growing up. And I'd go with her to, you know, when she was doing hair, and I'd be sitting in the corner petting someone's dog, but no one else could see the dog. And I'd be like naming the dog that died 10 years earlier. I'm like, no, I'm just playing with Benji. And wow, no one else could see it. So that kind of thing happened to me. And it was more in my teenage years that I kind of started to put everything together and realize that this is actually psychic experiences that were happening. And it was all through watching Buffy the Vampire Slayer, actually.
But as you say, I mean, you know, that's not the most ideal sort of situation for a teenager in Glasgow or wherever you were.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
I'm guessing you had to rebel against it for a bit.
Yeah, it was unideal, if that's a word. But then when I got to my teenage years, I found the work of Louise Hay, first of all, and then there was books about angels by other authors who later became colleagues and friends. Mm-hmm. And I kind of went down that rabbit hole of realizing that what I was actually seeing was spiritual energies, and that everyone could do it, but also that I was able to control it.
Yeah.
And that was the main thing, that the one thing I actually wanted when I got interested in all this was not how to switch it on and develop it, was how the fuck can I turn this off?
Because it was in your face the whole time.
Yeah. Wow. And you know, the funniest thing, and we'll find this really curious when we speak about, you know, substances and all that kind of stuff. When I was younger, my parents thought that I, you know, had some sort of hyperactive mind. And then because I had Guillain-Barré syndrome and it attacks the nervous system, they wondered if there was problems with the brain or spinal fluid or whatever. And so there was all these different tests done to me. And then they're like, maybe he's got ADHD. We should take him off sugar, anything that has caffeine in it, anything that has E numbers, you know. So my parents took me off all these kind of substances, and I actually got clearer. I was like more psychic, more switched on, more weird things happened to me.
Yeah.
And so they put me back on it.
Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah. So,
oh my goodness. And then, so, I mean, we know that you had a sort of fairly meteoric rise to fame, didn't you? With, you know, with your, even, was even your first book was like a bit of a bestseller.
Yeah, so what happened was when I got into my teenage years, I started to learn how to develop kind of psychic ability and went through the whole spiritualist movement. And then when I was 20, I did a reading for a woman. This is what happened, basically. I did a reading for a woman, and when she came for this reading, she, you know, was just curious. And as soon as she walked in the door, I just heard this angel speaking to me, and it was saying, we're here to reunite the sisters. And I was like, okay. So I'm telling her what's happening. She's like, yeah, I've got a sister. And I was like, no, you've got two sisters. And she's like, no, I have one sister. And I was like, no, you've got two. Like, why am I being told you've got two? Anyway, it turns out I started writing all this random stuff down. I wrote Coney Island, New York, this woman's full name and all these details that were just like coming to me so clearly. And I wrote it all down, and the woman was like, this guy is off his rocker. You know, this wasn't a reading. This was just random facts. But anyway, she was curious about it, and she did a bit of, you know, due diligence. And it turned out her mother did have another daughter. Wow. And they found out that it was sold on the black market. And the name that I actually wrote down at the top of the paper was the name of the person that had bought the child.
Wow.
And they were discovered in Coney Island, New York. And it was just like so bang on. So the newspapers got wind of this, like, you know, highly accurate reading. And I ended up getting a column in The Sun because of that. And they called me the Angel Whisperer, which then led to my first book deal and like going on all these TV shows. Mm-hmm. And so I went from, like, you know, this random teenage boy with far too many tattoos to, you know, best-selling author in a very short space of time. And yeah, it kind of propelled me into the public eye. And that was 11 years ago.
Wow. Amazing. And I mean, you know, you've just had the most incredible success. But I think what's great is that, you know, in amongst all of this, you're very real about it all. That's what I love. You know, I love it when we've met, when I've heard you talk, you're very real, because we all know of, you know, you don't need to name any names, but we all know of sort of spiritual experts and the kind of stuff we sometimes see on the telly. And honestly, there is a thread of sort of charlatanship going through it, you know, sometimes, isn't there? Let's be really honest.
You know? Yeah, I think that's been my biggest challenge with it all is, you know, I don't think being spiritually connected is special. I think everyone can do it. But I think it's been marketable to make it look like only certain people can have it and it's a special gift. Whereas I've never wanted to be glorified. I've always wanted to use my life as a demonstration to others what is possible. But I also think being brought up in, you know, a working class household and, you know, rugged
keeps your feet on the ground.
It really was.
I know your mum's your manager, so I bet she kicks your butt if you step out of line, right?
Oh yeah, I mean, like, completely kicking my butt today, and then called me just before this, like, good luck for the interview, don't forget this.
Brilliant. So look, we're going to dig into a few of the ideas from Raise Your Vibration: High Vibe Tools to Support Your Spiritual Awakening. Lovely, just a fabulous title. And I'd love, you know, to get some really sort of practical tips, actually, as to how all of us can try and raise our vibration, because God knows we need to. You know, it's so much going on and so much anxiety and so many mental health issues and all the rest of it. And I think that, you know, if we can just grasp hold of some of this stuff and recognize that, you know, we can shift our vibration, I just think it would be so magical. But before we even get into that, let's talk about the booze, because you were saying that you'd come across my TED talk, so I'm really glad you enjoyed that.
It was just amazing just to think, you know, I do a daily TED talk, like, that's one of my things, or a podcast, like, one of the two. And just randomly, it was like random TED talk selector. It's on TED's website and it just gives you a random talk. So I had just clicked it and then started to make, I think it was eggs or something. And then I just heard your voice in the background and I was like, wait a minute, I know who that is. And so I hadn't even known that you'd done a TED talk. And I just stopped what I was doing and sat down and watched the whole thing. And I'd already been, you know, sober curious for a number of months. And so what you were sharing and what you were saying was really resonating with me, you know.
I mean, it is so fascinating, isn't it? Because lots of people who listen to this podcast will have heard me say a lot of times that I genuinely think that when you're drinking alcohol, it actually lowers your vibration.
Right.
Right. I really believe that. You agree?
Yeah, no doubt at all.
Yeah. And for years, because I was drinking, I now look back and I now realize just how hard why it was so difficult for me to meditate, why it was so difficult for me to focus on self-love. I was, you know, like you, Hay House author, and I'm there at all those events and I'm giving talks and I'm interviewing everybody. I interviewed you for Hay House Radio. I've interviewed everybody for Hay House Radio. So there was nothing that I didn't know about this, but it wasn't real for me. And I now look back and I realize why. Because I couldn't be authentic because there was that bloody great elephant in the room that was alcohol.
Right.
You know, it's really fascinating.
Yeah, it's weird because I've never been a big drinker personally. I've always, even if you might not notice, but like at Hay House things, I never drank.
No.
So that was always something that stood out. And then in the latter part, I'd always have one drink.
Yeah.
And I think it was just, there's a culture of gathering and people drink alcohol. But I made this conscious decision that I was going to amp up my meditation time in the first lockdown. And I've been meditating for 18 years, but this, I was really going to go hard on it. And anytime I've done it, I like to meditate at bedtime. And so I don't like to drink before I meditate. So I stopped drinking just because I was going to go home and meditate. And that was like the initial reason. And then sometimes I'd move my meditation so I could go out and have a drink. But I started getting an instant sore head just from like a sip of alcohol.
Right. So you really noticed.
I was like, when I upped my meditation time, I noticed instantly when there was a drop of alcohol in my body.
Right. Right.
Even last week I was out for dinner and I got a tiramisu, but there was too much alcohol in it.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, whoa, like, can't do this. So when I made space to actually recognize.
Yeah, exactly.
When I was putting the alcohol in, I realized, oh, this isn't really working for me. And I've always been interested in wine, and I love beer, and I've got even shares in BrewDog, and I've always been like three drinks max, like that's always been my thing. And it's because there is alcoholism in the periphery of my family. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, I've always been really modest approaching it. But as soon as Christmas was the last time I had a glass of wine, I was like, I don't think I'm going to drink again. I'm just going to like try this sober January thing.
Yeah.
Where are we? We're in May. So I've done all right, you know. Yeah,
definitely. I know obviously for someone like you, as you say, you've obviously been meditating for years and all of that stuff. But do you notice that it's that you can raise your vibration, you know, to quote your book title?
I think that your body is a vehicle, and how we see the body and how we treat the body has everything to do with the vibration that we're going to project. The vibration that we create is attractive in nature, and you know, it's in alignment with everything that we experience in our lives. So just like a little shift in not having alcohol in my vibration has been pretty potent for me. There's been more clarity. Yeah. And even if I did have just like two beers, the next day I'd wake up feeling really tired and really, and I was like, this just isn't worth it for me. This has like a domino effect on my productivity, my clarity, my awareness. And you have to also move things around for alcohol. And I didn't like that.
Yeah, absolutely. You have to make time because it takes so much of your bloody time. I mean, that's one of the amazing benefits when you stop drinking. For people who are drinking a lot, you free up so much time and so much clarity, you know. So,
yeah.
Oh, it's fantastic. It's great to hear. I love it because it's so exciting.
Say? You know what else I was going to say about in the conversation of vibration and being sober is I've noticed how infectious it is to not drink, and how other people are like, oh, I think I'll match you on that.
Yeah.
So I was going out for dinner with a friend last week, and we met at the pub across the street, and I was like, can I have a 0% Peroni, please? And my friend was like, I'll have I'll have the 0%.
Great.
And then I was out with Yasmin Boland in London the other night, and I was like, I'll have the non-alcoholic this, please. And she's like, I'm going to do that too. That sounds brilliant. Amazing.
Great. Doing it. Of course, you know, a lot of people listening to this will be dealing with sober shamers. But you know, as you say, if you just, that's exactly how it's done. You head straight to the bar and you just straight away ask for what it is you want, rather than, you know, that, or do you want to drink? Oh, well, actually, I'm not really drinking. So, I'm not really sure. You know, if you just steam straight in with, I love the alcohol free, whatever, then there's something really authentic about that. And of course, the choices are amazing. BrewDog have got a great alcohol free beer, haven't they?
Yeah, they've got Punk AF and Nanny State. Yeah, there's a few. Yeah. And it was my birthday in February, and I'm friends, I think you probably know her, Camille Vidal.
Yeah. Camille does amazing cocktails. Yeah.
She sent me this hamper of all these alcohol-free drink options, and she was at my birthday, and she did like alcohol-free Cure Royales, and it was just like everyone was so into it because they're like, this is so cool.
I know, it's brilliant.
I'm going to wake up feeling amazing.
Yeah, exactly. There are literally no downsides. There really aren't. I'm very jealous of you that you did it so young. It's really cool. Let's just talk about some of these elements of the book then, because there will be people listening who, you know, don't really know what we mean at all when we say raise your vibration. So, you know, what does it mean, and how can all of us, you know, go some way to raising our vibes?
Yeah. So like we know the word vibe for a start, and we all use that word in our day-to-day life, even if we're not spiritually centered. For example, see you walk into the office one day and you walk in and you just know instinctively that someone's having a bad day.
Yeah.
It's like a thickness in the air, you know, and you might find out later on down the line that your boss is having a moment or someone's having this or that. We just know when we walk into spaces if there's a good energy or a bad energy.
Yeah.
If you walk into a party and everyone's having a laugh, or you walk into see your child when you go home and they're smiling and excited, or your dogs when you walk in, there's a positive energy there. But the biggest thing to say about both of those is we've all been both of those people. We've all been the person who is giving off the lower end of the spectrum. We've all been the person giving off the higher end of the spectrum. The best way to understand it is that we are these walking transmitters and receivers of energy. And energy is expressed through a conversation, our actions, our choices, our non-actions, and also in our presence. Like, are we present in the room or are we checked out? So all of that is a vibe. And the truth is that most of us in human beings, we are all kind of hardwired to be at the higher end of the spectrum. And we don't necessarily realize that, but the truth is we see it in mental health conversations and when people are facing depression or low moments in their life as they want out of it.
Yeah, yeah, we absolutely seek that pleasure, don't we?
We seek to get out of that. And so that's what raising your vibration is. It's about making the conscious choice to kind of get out the heavy moments into a place that's high. Mm. But it's really important to say it's not to avoid feeling low. Yeah. And it's not to like discredit anyone's experience of feeling low, depressed or anxious or overwhelmed. It's more the, you can still be high vibe and have depression. You can still be high vibe and have moments of low. And it's more the tools to kind of live with that. Mm-hmm. It can help you be high vibe, if that makes sense.
So how what's your take then on this, the kind of concept that, you know, really we have to sort of embrace all our emotions and we're not very good at that, right? Are we? You know, we don't like it if we feel angry or jealous or, you know, we just want to, which is why so many people reach for a drink, of course. But once we do start to sort of recognize, okay, I'm going to sit with this feeling for a while. I'm going to accept that actually I'm sad or I'm angry or whatever. How can we, from that place, if there is something not so fabulous going on, how can we raise our vibration in that moment?
Yeah, so I always take a kind of body, mind, soul approach to raising your vibration. And you can raise your vibration in a number of different ways. So for me, like, raising your vibration doesn't always have to be about, you know, saying affirmations in front of the mirror or doing yoga. Raising your vibration could be like the choice of, today I'm going to be alcohol free, you know, like that's raising your vibration. Or definitely, I'm going to choose to eat the thing that makes me feel vibrant today rather than eating the thing that's going to make me want to go and sleep on the couch. So that's a conscious choice to raise your vibration. Raising your vibration in a mind level can be about saying, you know what, I should just call up that colleague and say, I'm sorry for being a hard knock today at work. You know, that could be simple as that. Or it can be, I'm going to choose to forgive myself for making that bad decision today because I can improve tomorrow. So that's a mental approach to raising your vibration. And then a soul approach, it could be about calling on a higher power.
Yeah.
You know, just inviting in a presence that's greater than you. And that could just be the most intelligent form of yourself.
Yeah.
So that could be that. And it can also be about finding something to be grateful for.
Yeah, gratitude is everything, isn't it?
Well, it's the highest vibration, actually, I've noticed. As soon as you go into gratitude, everything else comes into alignment.
Yeah.
So that's what I say. But to raise your vibration, there's a few things that I do daily that just gets me and keeps me high. So the first one is just moving my body in some way. Mm-hmm. And that can be like putting on Florence and the Machine, full blast.
Yeah, shake it out. Yeah. Yeah.
Like shaking it all out.
Yeah, literally.
You know, so that's a wonderful way. It could be going a run. It could be doing yoga. It doesn't have to be, you know, intense physically. It can just be like, you know, having a nod or doing something. So moving my body in some shape or form, movement is the one way. The other one is tuning in. And that's being like, I am part of something greater, you know, realizing that there's a bigger picture at play here. And for me, tuning in is about realizing that my one small life can make a big difference.
Yeah.
So I do that every day. What else do we do? Movement, mantra can kind of come together. Tuning in. I'm trying to think what I do.
You're so used to it.
In meditation, of course. That's the other thing. Raising your vibration for me is meditation. Like, that is the practice. And the biggest thing about most people is they say, I can't meditate. You know, like that's the one reason that most people don't meditate is because they don't believe they can. But for me, meditation can actually just be sitting and just thinking about your shopping list. Mm-hmm. It can be thinking about the thing that's bothering you, but just giving yourself 5 minutes permission just to be.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, I love that. It's a completely realistic approach. And I was that person who for years and years and years just said, I can't meditate. But you're absolutely right. It doesn't have to be 20 minutes, you know, levitating, does it?
No, I mean, I do that now.
But... yeah, obviously.
No. You know, for me, when I started to, my meditation practice is about 40 minutes at the moment. And, but I do moving meditation. So I do Kundalini and I say a mantra consistently for the amount of time that I'm doing it. And it's really, really powerful. Mm-hmm. And the clarity I have, the skin clears up, is weird. And then all of the other choices start to have a knock-on effect. For example, me choosing to go alcohol-free
has been
kind of a knock-on effect of the meditation practice.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I wouldn't have believed I could sit as still when I started. And my meditation practice has been 18 years, but it's never been as strong as it has been in the last two. And it's just because I've made it a thing. I've realized that this has a knock-on effect on everything else that I do.
But as you say, for someone starting out, for whom all of this is quite new, literally you can set a timer for 5 minutes.
Yeah, or even 3 minutes.
Or even three, exactly. And don't get upset if your thoughts wander, because that's fine. It's what happens.
So I always say it's mindfulness. So what I mean, what we hear there is mind is full, not empty.
But
people always think, you know, mind needs to be empty in order to achieve meditation, when in fact meditation is actually just being one with your mind and all the madness that comes with it.
Fabulous. Let's see, we've got so many things I'd love to ask you, but I know that you talk about how you can give your aura a makeover. Give us a quick idea of that.
So shaking it out is a really good thing, but your aura is the projection of your energy. I always try and take this from a non-believer's mind, you know, like a skeptical person, but vibes and aura are two words that we use day to day, and initially they were only for psychic people, but now it's day-to-day language. We'll go, oh, I like that person's aura. And so we'll say that, but and someone with a clean aura, it's just someone that gives off a good energy when they walk in the room. And we can clean our aura just by one, moving, doing a movement of some description, shaking it out, just taking a moment there, finding something to be grateful for. So that whether that be someone you love, a blessing of your day, it could even just be your health. That's going into your energy. And then an act of service. Doing something in the service of others with no seek of reward. These are all things that project into the energy around you, and it makes a difference.
I love that.
And it's super infectious, and I'm really good friends with David Hamilton, as you know. All the science behind it, he's like, when you do these things,
that kindness is good for you.
It's a rearrangement of your like your genetics and everything that's happening inside. But I've noticed that when I just instantly do these little things in my day-to-day life, it becomes like something back. So, you know, like the other day I saw someone in the train station at the airport. I'm like, can I help you with that? And they're like, yes. And the next minute I go for coffee and they're like, you're my random act of kindness.
It comes back at you.
Knock-on effect. And I'm not consciously looking for that, but it starts coming back because the aura is magnetic.
It's absolutely. Like you attract more of what you give off, as it were. Definitely. I love that. I know one thing that slightly shifting topics for a second, but I, lots of people who listen to the podcast and definitely Sober Club members will know that I quote you a lot. Yeah, I do a lot, because one of the things that I remember so profoundly was interviewing you for Hay House Radio a lot of years ago. And we were talking about purpose and how, you know, people often sort of want to find their purpose. What is it that they're here to do? And it, within the Sober Club, you know, we've got lots of people who now they've stopped drinking. Suddenly there's time, or there's space, or there's something completely new seems to want to come up, right? And a lot of people find creativity or go off and do a degree or start a business or buy a camper van with the money they've saved or whatever it is, all of this fabulous stuff. But then sometimes there'll be people who say, I don't know. I don't think I'm very creative. I don't know. And I remember asking you a similar question years ago. And your answer was, I don't know if you can even remember it, but your answer was, you know, sometimes your purpose might just be to be happy.
Yeah, that's true. That's what I always say.
I love that. I mean, I don't know if you realize how absolutely profound that is.
Yeah, it's because we put a lot of pressure on the word purpose, you know, and a lot of people just think that their purpose is their job title or their achievements or the things that they make happen or how they affect the lives of others. But sometimes happiness is all the purpose you need, because happiness, again, is another infectious thing.
And exactly. So if you're happy, you're going to impact on others.
It's a knock-on effect. And especially if you have family or children, if your child grows up with a happy parent.
Yeah, exactly. Your work's done.
The work is done. So for me, I also have come to a point and realized that it's not just about finding your specific purpose, but finding opportunities to be purposeful.
Yeah.
And so happiness is one of them. And I also believe that all things done with love is purpose.
Yeah.
So, you know, just like if you do something that you can do for someone without seeking a reward, you're on purpose and you're making a difference. And so one thing that's really helped me with that is the archangel mother of mine. She said to me, Kyle, if you can make the difference in one person's life while you're here, then you have done more than many. And that's always stuck with me my whole life. Mm. You know, if we can just make the difference in one person's life.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
that's what purpose is.
Yeah. Do you believe we all have a guardian angel?
I believe everyone has an angel. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And your angel can show up in your conscience as well. It can just be that voice that says, don't do it. You know, it can be that voice that says, step away from this relationship or, don't trust this person. You know, I think our angel doesn't have to be a winged feathery being. It's just an intelligence that shows up that guides us in our life.
Yeah.
I believe everyone's got one. And I believe that they are as loud as our willingness to listen. And the truth of the matter is most of us are not willing to listen.
And I know you've spoken a lot about asking angels for what you want.
Specifically thanking them. Is the magic formula to this is that most people ask when the shit hits the fan.
In a crisis,
You know, a falling to your knees moment, and that works. You can say, you know, help me with this, and you might have an experience that gets you through it. I've found that prayer is most powerful when you are grateful for all the great things that you have. And in the moments that things do go wrong, I always find that your prayer is louder because you've spent the majority of your time in thanks. So I always say, like, the most random things. The flight was taken off early the other day. I was like, thank you, angels. And I say it out loud. People look at me. I don't even care. When the guy was like, we have an alcohol-free cocktail list. And I was like,
wow.
I was like, thank you, angels.
That's progress.
When I paid for the dinner, I was like, thank you, angels. I do it all the time.
Yeah.
And it's not just because when I say thank you, angels, a lot of people think I'm in praise of angels. It's not that. The reason I always say thank you, angels, is angels love to hear us say thank you, not because they're getting glorification, but because the thanks that we're feeling is what's going to create the miracles in our life.
Yeah, exactly. The gratitude.
That's amazing. It's the feeling that we want to create. So we can say anything we want, but it's the feeling behind them. And if the feeling's of authenticity, then we could do it. I'll tell you something else about angels. In this conversation, I think it'll be interesting. I was actually doing a talk in London a couple of weeks ago, and there's a woman in the audience who was a therapist, and she'd always been open-minded to the idea of, you know, angels, spiritual experiences and all that. And she was actually an addiction therapist, and she had a man, and he had like been in front of her, and he was on his knees, kind of reached his final point. And she said that she didn't really know what she could do, but in her head, she's like, I really need to help this guy. And in that moment, she said an angel appeared in front of her, and she never willed it. She'd never looked for anything like that. And she couldn't understand what, but the angel told her what she needed to say. And this guy like managed to shift around his life based on the things that she said to her. And she said, how did that happen? Because I've always heard that angels can't help you in your life unless you ask them. And I found out that that's not actually the bigger picture. It can also be if your vibration's in a specific way. So angels can help you if you are doing something from pure truth, if you're doing something from pure devotion, if you're doing something from love, or you're doing something from service. And if you, if you're in any of those places, truth, devotion, love, or service, angels are coming towards you and they help you. And because she was so fixated on serving this guy and helping him, an angel appeared and gave her the answer.
Wow. How wonderful. Love it. So, Kyle, you've obviously got masses of amazing oracle cards and decks and things and loads and loads of books. So just remind us where we can find all your stuff and tell us a little bit about the new edition of the book.
Yeah, so I'm on Instagram and Facebook and all that, just Kyle Gray, Gray with an A. And I've got lots of different products out. But I'll tell you, purpose has been a big conversation my whole entire life. And I realized that my career and my job is not my purpose. However, I feel very purposeful in doing what I do. And I realized in the last couple of years that my work's not about telling people the answers or telling people about their angels, but more getting people on the path for themselves and then letting them discover the magnificence of their own power. And in 2016, I wrote this book called Raise Your Vibration, and it sold over 100,000 copies and it did really well. But upon reflection, because I wrote it when I was like 26, that there was some stuff I thought wasn't 100% right and I'd matured a lot. So I asked Hay House if I could redo it and revisit the book. And that's what this is. It's the new one. And it's 77 different practices that you can do in any order whatsoever. And each one's to bring you back to raising your vibration. And for me, that's just about making the conscious choice to be the light in every room you enter. Like that's basically it.
Love it.
Yeah.
Kyle, thank you so much. You've been such an amazing guest.
Thank you.
I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kyle. I really appreciate it. I hope you enjoyed hearing that again. If you heard it the first time, then I guess something new might have landed. I hope so. A reminder that I'm going to be at the Back to the Roots Festival this weekend at Croft Farm. I'm going to be speaking Saturday afternoon on being happy, healthy, sober. And you can find out information about that from Conscious Body Community or drop me a message at Janie Lee Grace. You can find me anywhere on social media. Looking forward to meeting some of you next Tuesday for our 250th episode, our live podcast recording. Don't forget to drop me a message on your favourite pods and also your stories of connection. I'd be really interested to know what's been some of the best pieces about this journey for you in terms of connection, how you've been able to connect with other people, perhaps differently to how it might have come about had you not have been sober. Because I personally think the connections that I've made since ditching the booze have been definitely the most powerful ones I've ever made in my life. I will be bringing you dates for the next Family Constellations workshop soon. It's, as we discussed there, it's such incredibly powerful work. We will be doing a workshop soon. I have got my sober coach training early October. I think it's full, but there's a possibility of one place left. So if that had your name on it, then drop me a message. And our next training will be January 26th, 27th, 2024. So it will fill up quick. So if that's something that you've been thinking about, make sure you drop me a message. And I'll give you more details as well next week about Champneys and other retreats that I am planning, just kind of pulling a few pieces together. But there's definitely going to be more stuff where we can meet up, definitely doing some stuff in October. So thank you so much for listening. Really looking forward to seeing some of you next week. I'm going to put another event on, by the way, early October, another live podcast recordings. I think it's a fantastic way for you guys to to meet each other, for me to bring in some great guests, and for us to, well, do more of that connection piece. So I really look forward to meeting some of you in due course. Obviously, that's going to be if you're in the UK. But thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for being such a huge part of my world. I really do appreciate podcast listeners. It really means a lot to me. It's such a thing doing this every single week, and you know, it's a bit of a labor of love. But while ever I get messages from people saying that the podcast has helped them, or the podcast has given them a little bit of inspiration, then I'm good to carry on doing it. So you're all very much appreciated. If you're listening to this and things are really hard for you right now, if you're struggling, always reach out. Holding up, going under is not going to do it. Reach out. There is always help available. So reach out to someone. Tell someone if you're doing this. If you're early stages of ditching the booze, tell someone. Not necessarily your closest friends and relatives. They may not be in the best position to support you, but you can tell me. I'll be your cheerleader. I'll hold the vision for you. You can find me anywhere on social media at Genuinely Grace, or go to thesoberclub.com, and I'll see you next week. Thank you for listening to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by The Sober Club. Please rate and review. And if you want support, accountability and inspiration, and you want to live your best life without the booze, check out thesoberclub.com.